You might turn in your Bible. Job. In Job chapter 19. And since we are in the presence of God and we've got his word opened his word, so therefore I would think it would be quite in order for us to be looking to God to help us understand what he has to say, what he has said to help us understand what he has said, so we can get that. So with that in mind, and thus he says it in his, from Genesis to Revelation. Job chapter 19, here's Job. And Job has gone, as you know, goes through a great exercise that is very rare for anyone to go through. And Job is used to illustrate that wonderful truth. And that is, Job understood in his heart. Chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. Very confident in the crisis, in the crunch, very confident. And he's going to go through it all, as you know, in the light of the 42 chapters of Job. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God, Job, you were trusting God, and you knew it had to work out. Now, over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 33. And you would recall, in the light of that, God, as we've been going, hopefully you remember, God has repeatedly stated what he is going to do and how he's going to do it. And he has said this over and over again. So he says something, and then he confirms it, says it again, so that people can understand God means what he says and says what he means. So God, here we are. So therefore, here's Jeremiah chapter 33. And God is saying all over again and saying it very clearly and simply, and as we shared in chapter 33, and God is going to go, going back just to verse 9, God is going to go and do wonderful things. God, that Israel is to be for his prey, a joy, a praise, for his glory and honor. Israel, God has chosen Israel to be the light in the darkness. God has chosen Israel to be the nation, to show all the nations who he is. It's God's good choice, and God is going to make his choice, his vehicle, work. The vehicle, Israel, has to work. It can't fail. Now, chapter 33, and God's going to go, verse 9, hear all the good that I am going to do in the middle of the verse, that I do unto them, they that fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto you. So God is going to go again and again, sliding down, if I can, to verse 10. And Jesus saith the Lord, again there shall be in this place, and we did all this, I just want you to know, that God says it, and he again, and then he says it again. You know, I'd say, so. Someone asked Moody once how he come, I think it was him, why he kept saying you need to be born again. Because you need to be born again. That's what you need. What's the last message I told you? You need to be born again. That's what you need. Until you get born again, there's nowhere to go. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind again, in this place, verse 11, again, they praise the Lord of hosts, etc. God is going to go and be merciful. The Lord is good, in the middle of the verse, for his mercy endureth forever, etc. And God is going to do wonderful, wonderful things. Verse 12, thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place. So as we did all this, went through that, God's going to do his wonderful things that he does. Verse 14, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. God just, if so, had any crime? People say, oh boy, look at the Jerusalem and Nebuchadnezzar and the ruins and the demise of Israel as a prominent, as the nation disappears in ruins. People dispersed all over, must be over. And God just says, no, you didn't understand. Now, hang on. So, having said that, and sliding down if I can, to verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And God's going to do a wonderful thing. How is it ever going to happen that Israel can be that successful? Because right now, Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah, Israel has left God out of the picture. They have rejected God as a nation. They have their idols and their system. And God is judging it. God is missing. But in the millennium, in the kingdom, when all of the wonderful things that God has said are going to come to pass, you have to understand, when you're in the kingdom, it's all going to work because God is there. When you leave God out of here, we can all come in the building and do what we do, and sing, and read the Bible even, and go out the door without God ever being in here. If we don't look for him, we leave him out. And we can have a whole church service without God. Simple as that. Nothing to it. If you're going to include God, that changes things. Now, having said that, verse 16, In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. This is the name whereby she, that's Jerusalem, the city, shall be called. The city is going to be called the Lord our righteousness. So the city is going to be called God's wonderful, wonderful righteousness. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and remember what we read before, God is going to be wherever God is. He makes everything right and holy and clean and good and wonderful. All of the good that God would do is to be found where the good God is. It's all going to be found there. So when God says, that's my city, and hold your finger here, chapter 23, remember, I think it's 23. And chapter 23, picking up, if I may, in verse 6. 23, verse 6. In these days, maybe to tie the two together, in these days Judah shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name, this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. 23:6, the Lord himself is the righteous one, because the righteous one is in the city The city is righteous. What do you call the city? The Lord our righteousness. It's where God is. Everything is where. It's all about God. From the pots and the kettles and everything is Zechariah. All of those wonderful things. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful righteousness, and God's going to do. So now chapter 33. And picking up, if I can, everything, God makes everything right. If you leave God out, you're missing the righteousness that God brings when he's present. Leave him out, your righteousness goes bye-bye. The reason you're saved is because he isn't going to go anywhere. And that's why you stay righteous. You don't stay righteous. You may forget all about him. And people do, obviously. Believers do. But God, anyway, the righteousness. Now, having said that, now you move to in the light of the city, in the light of the Lord, verse 17. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of David. Now, you have to think Jewish, be Jewish for a moment. What is the whole Old Testament about and into the future? It's about God and his wonderful person, honoring his wonderful person and exercising Israel in a most wonderful way. That's what it's about. Israel is the key to answer if you want peace and want the world to get better. What do you pray for? You pray for the peace. You remember it? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Not for the church. No, church isn't their job. That isn't our job. Nope, it's Israel. Now, having said that, so if you're reading Israel in the Old Testament with Jeremiah, what do you want to know? All the stuff that's been said from Moses all the way down to Jeremiah. All of those wonderful things about the king and the kingdom and righteousness and glory and honor and joy. Wow, all of it's there. But you would never know it because, it's all going to be in ruins. And the people are all discouraged, depressed, disappointed, etc. Now, so here's David. And what do you make? I'm going to make a promise that I'm going to honor David. Now, why did you pick David? Go, Ben, please, over to Isaiah. And God, help us. Isaiah, and in chapter 9. And you recall the Lord, the righteous one. Chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, in Bethlehem of Judea. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all these things. Verse 7. And of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. We're going to perform it. So God, the purpose of our Lord's birth is to be what? To be what? He's the son of David. God has made a wonderful promise. Why did you pick David? Because when you're going to come to the kingdom, what Israelite stands out? David. If David's going to make it, all the rest is going to be. So let's confirm David. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to have anyone get in the way of David. And David, the line of David, as you know, Jesse, David, and come down the line, Matthew chapter 1, etc., etc., and Luke chapter 3, and you come right down the line. And who's born? He's born. Who was born in Bethlehem of Judea? Jerusalem, Judea. Who was born to Bethlehem? The son of David. The son of David. He's the son of David. God said, you'll never live on this earth that I will not fulfill my promise. I promised David. How so? How so did you promise David? Or if I can, in the light of that, in the light of God's wonderful, wonderful grace, picking up, if I may, in the God's the son of David, and God's going to do the right thing in the right way now. And so, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, if you would, just apply it to you and me for a moment, just for a second, if I can. The righteousness, God's righteousness, it's his presence that makes Israel very successful. It's his presence that makes Israel having good, wonderful relationship, good, wonderful things everywhere. He does. He makes it work. He's the righteous. Israel has rejected him, and thus the righteousness is gone. What are you showing? I remember I said a moment ago, it isn't about the church, it's about Israel. The church has another job. The church is this in grace, a testimony to the world. God hasn't put Israel on the shelf, out of business, I should say. God is going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. And God is showing that he's going to do it. Christ died on the cross and rose again. And the church's wonderful, wonderful purpose is to what? To demonstrate God's saving grace, his righteousness. So what do we know? We know, without turning there for time, John 10, 3 and 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the end. He fulfills the law for righteousness. And you know 2 Corinthians 5:21 and all that. He has become sin for us, 5:21. Why? That we might become righteous, the righteous ones. Unless he comes, you have to receive him as your Savior. What are you doing? You're receiving the right person in the right way for the right reasons, and it all comes out right. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so you go and do one thing anyway, over to 1 Corinthians, which you know all this. But we're letting it talk to us. I'm learning God. Oh, God, talk to me about this. Helping me. So 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, and you can lock it in your head and heart again. 1 Corinthians 1, and picking up, please, chapter 1, going directly, if I can, to verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but on the contrary, of him, God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, God did it, is made unto us by his death, burial, and resurrection, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if you want to get excited, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to get excited about sure things. Get excited about God in your heart. That's exciting. That's a sure thing. All your other dreams and aspirations, your work, your home, your play, what you do, don't do, how you think, all of that vanishes. And the only thing that's left is God. The flesh shall not glory in my presence. It will not do it. I want you to understand. I'm the key. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, over now, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 33. David's the key. David's the key. Oh, and I shouldn't even not go that fast. On your way, you went to Jeremiah. Just go a little further, backwards to 2 Samuel. Let me lock that in a little better. 2 Samuel. And picking up if I can. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And you know what? The Davidic covenant. And the Davidic covenant. Remember, David is picked. He's the key man in the millennium, apart from God, of course. And 2 Samuel chapter 7, here's the Davidic covenant. And in the light of all of that wonderful promise to David, David is made a wonderful promise that he will never lack someone to be on the throne. God is going to be seated in the line of David. Jesus Christ is the son of David. Hang on. You'll see it. Chapter 7 in the covenant, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. David, Jesus Christ is born of Mary of Bethlehem. Mary of Bethlehem. She's the line of David. That's where it's come from. Now, verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established for how long? Forever. Before thee, thy throne shall be established forever, forever. Now that's the Davidic covenant. Now, I could make believe you're just reading that, and you were a Jew, and you read that, and you say, that's wonderful, but look at everything, the world, look at everything, look at us humans, it's never going to happen. Well, what are you trying to do, God, in Jeremiah? When you think everything is ended and done, I want you to know it isn't. It isn't. Now, so therefore, Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, may I pick up the mood and movement in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. Verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. No question. I have sworn unto David. Sliding down if I can, to verse 20. I have found David. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. I have found it with my holy oil, anointing him. I have anointed him. Verse 21, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm shall also strengthen him. So David, over verse 33, verse 29 better, verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, his throne as the days of heaven. He's saying something. As the days of heaven, I'm going to tell you, that's interesting. How are you going to do it? As long as the days of heaven exist. Morning, the sun rises, sunsets. I'm going to make him, David, what are you going to do? You can count it just like you count on the days. The days are going to come. They're never going to. Your days are always going to be there. And verse 35. Once have I sworn to my servant in my holiness that I will not lie. I will not lie. The word means to change. I will not lie or change unto David. I will not change. Now hang on to that, the word lie, L-I-E. And if you can, slide over, it's, and by the way, it's intensive. That means God said, I absolutely want you to know, I will not, with great emphasis, I absolutely will not lie. That's what God, just like I'm doing, only I can't even do it. Like the verb, intensive, making it very intensive. God said, I'm not messing around. How's that? I'm not messing around. To hold your finger here a minute and go over to Malachi, where you're going to look at it. Malachi, and in chapter 3. And in Malachi chapter 3, picking up of Haimei, going directly to looking at a little word, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change. See the word change? That's the verb, to lie, to change, to alter. It's not negotiable. I don't intend to change anything. Do you understand? I'm not going to change it. How about a little difference? What happens if things don't work out? No, it's going to be. What I'm telling you is non-negotiable. It's just going to be. But who believes that, you know? Now, so therefore, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're not consumed. And that is intensive, same as the as in chapter 33, in chapter Psalm 89. It's intensive. I don't intend to change. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. Well, God, maybe things will make different and you'll have to change. No, I'm not going to change. Not going to change at all. Not doing nowhere. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and I don't break my promises, I'm very faithful, not unfaithful. Back over to Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, picking up if I can, I'm going to go if I can again to verse 29. His seed will I make to him, make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Okay, sliding down verse 35. Once I have sworn by my servant, by my holiness, that's how I'm swearing, but that I will not lie, change, alter unto day. I'm not going to change a thing. What I told David, I'm going to do. Verse 36, his seed shall endure forever. Oh, what's forever? And his throne as the sun before me. It's like the sun, as the heavens. You want confirmation? The world you live in. You're living, you're going to disappear, and someone else is going to come on it. And when you're all done, the world's there, and everyone else is gone. They're all gone. All the people that thought everything, they're all gone. But the earth is still there. The sun's still there. All right. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, the throne is the sun, verse 37. It shall be established forever, as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. I'm going to go, I make the heavens and earth, they're mine, and as long as they exist, what I tell you is going to be just what I tell you. It's going to be just like I told you. But. No, it's going to be just like that. Well, maybe not. So we don't get excited too much, because we don't understand what he said. And we don't understand his wonderful confirmation by his affirmation. We don't understand what he said to us. He said, you understand, this is what's going to be, and this is how I want you to understand it. You're righteous as believers in the church age. Here we are sitting here. And if you're saved, the righteous person has saved you, the right person in the right way for the right reasons is in your heart, and you have a righteousness that the world needs to see and understand, because you're honoring, you honor him, and when you honor him, the Spirit of God displays his wonderful grace to you in your heart, to the world around you, to whatever measure he wishes. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful grace in doing what he does in a most wonderful way. Now, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 33, excuse me. I had 17, but you need a little number ahead of it. 33:17. And so it isn't just going to be David, but I want you to know what's the next wonderful thing about Israel. Well, they had a wonderful, they represented God. And to all the world, they were able to go into a tabernacle, into the temple, and they were able to demonstrate a relationship to God by their priests, the Levites, etc. So when we come to verse 18, not only is the royal king, kings, verse 18, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to sacrifice continually. In other words, I'm going to have a wonderful, wonderful group in the millennium. They're going to demonstrate his wonderful saving grace, Ezekiel and all that. And the Levites that are put aside, remember they goofed, and they became servants of the priest because they goofed, and God made them servants of the priest, etc. And so making them servants of the priest, etc., they lost a wonderful thing. But by Zadok and all of that, God goes and does a wonderful thing. And he's going to say, he says in the millennium, Ezekiel chapter 44, he's going to tell you what, I'm going to go, I'm going to have all the stuff that's supposed to be. And by the way, I'm going to have the Levites. And the Levites are going to serve me in the temple, in the millennium, in Jerusalem, in the sacrifices. They're going to go and show. Who's going to do the job? David's going to represent the king, and the priests are going to represent his saving grace, and the priests are going to do it. You promised the priesthood, the Levites. Yes, I did. They're not going to disappear. I'm going to have them, but they aren't anywhere. Who knows who's of the tribe of Levi? Who knows who's a priest? Wow, God does. Who's of the tribe of Aaron? God does. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, in the light of all of that, so, and without doing all of that numbers and that, just to know, God is going to keep and save. He promised the Levites. Then they're going to keep his promise. God promised David, and God's going to keep his promise to David. And it's a wonderful thing. God keeps his word in a wonderful way. And you see what's going to happen. As you're looking at Jerusalem, here's Jeremiah. The temple's down. The priesthood, all over the place. The priests are way out in the field anyway, most of them. And so there's nothing. God says, you see nothing. I see it all. And you need to see it from God's point of view, not from our point of view. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, over to Luke. And in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, would you please note, if I can, directly in verse 32. He shall be great, that's how I'll read verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son of David. And he shall be called, and his name shall be called Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. No, God is the king. David represented God until God represents himself. Verse 33, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. So all of that is being confirmed in Jeremiah 33. He says, there's going to be a king, there's going to be a priest, it's all going to be there in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, putting it, we already got the righteous part a little bit, that we believers that are saved have a God's righteous person, the right person in the right place, in the right way, for the right reasons, that we could be wonderfully, wonderfully saved. Over, if we can, to John chapter 14. Now remember Job. Job said, I know, I'm very sure. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's day, they weren't sure, and God is trying to confirm it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, John chapter 14, you know, in verse 4. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know, that's what God said to the disciples in the upper room. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not the whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way, God? So here's Job. Job is looking for God. Here's the day in Jeremiah's day, they have left God out of the picture. Here's the disciples in the upper room, and God, they're trying to hang on and find out how this is ever going to come out good without going to prison or die. So therefore, verse 6, Jesus answered him and said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. What were you trying to say in Jeremiah 33? I'm the way. I'm the answer. Don't look at Nebuchadnezzar. Don't look at Jerusalem. Don't look at the city. Don't look in the mirror at yourself. I'm the answer. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look to me. That's what you have to do. If you leave me out, you miss the whole ball game. And that was what we said in the beginning. Job included God. That's why he went through it. Israel is not including God in Jeremiah. Now, so here, John chapter 14, down to verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long, this is to Philip, with you? Hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? And so the Lord Jesus Christ is putting in front of him, I'm telling you, most emphatically, giving you without question, that I am who I am. We've done all of this with the Gospel of John. I am who I am. I'm God. I'm the Son of God. I'm the righteous one. I'm the right one. Now, having said that, now, and so the disciples had to learn, like Jeremiah, like people in Jeremiah's day, only in a little different way. Now, having said that, and such assurance, God gives such a wonderful, repeated, repetitive affirmation for your confirmation, affirmation, so that you know. God says, how many times I got to tell you? And that's what you're resting in. You're resting in who I am. The disciples were not resting in who he was. They needed to rest in who he was. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. And chapter 1. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, and you may go directly if I can. Chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 20. 1 and 20. For, what do we know? For all the promises of God in Christ, in him, are yes, and in him, amen, so be it. For what reason? Unto the glory of God. God, how are you going to give this, how are you going to give expression to this? By us. Right? We have the righteousness of God, and we get all the promises, all of the one that we've been reading in Jeremiah, all of that truth. The sun, the moon, the earth, everything testifies and it isn't going away. I'm not going away, said God. So you got to trust me. That's what you got to do. Don't leave me out. Israel leaves me out at work, at home, at school, and they're in trouble. So therefore, I want you to know all the promises of God are yes and amen. That's it by us. Well, so God, we've been reading, we just read, God's going to keep his promise to Israel and the kingdom, to David, to the priest. He's going to do it, that's right. He's going to do it. Wow, wonderful. That's right. But you, us, here we are, bearing testimony to that we just read in Jeremiah and that, to the Israelites. They didn't believe any of this stuff. And here we are. We're supposed to be representative of God telling the world what he has said and confirmed and what he's going to do. God is the righteous one. He's the right person. God is the wonderful one to go and what? To give us, what? All of the truths that I'm reading. I'm able to relate to them. They aren't all about me, but they're all about my God. They're all about my God, who has a wonderful plan. Who has a wonderful plan? My God and Savior has a wonderful plan. Who's part of that wonderful plan? You and I are. Hey? You say, what are all the promises God got to do? Huh? They got a lot to do. What do you mean they got a lot to do? It's part of my life. All the promises of God. Wow, hang on. Now, I got to quit. Over to Hebrews. We didn't get very far. I hope you got a little bit. You know, what can I tell you? God's going to do what he does. Chapter 6, Hebrews, remember, if I can, in the light of God's promise. Verse 16. 6 and 16, remember. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So you swear, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. That's it. Now, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, God isn't going to alter anything. I change not. By two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. God can't lie. That we might have a strong, and God, you say it so many times, you're either like some people in the government, you keep saying all the stuff that isn't true. God, you don't do that. You repeat yourself over and over, and all of it's true. All of it's true. Verse 18. By two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation, encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is before us. So what has hope got to do? Expectancy, anticipation. Israel, what should you be doing? Jeremiah, anticipating, expecting God's wonderful plan to outwork itself. They're going to die like Daniel has to die. He won't see all of the stuff he said. But Daniel was to go to put aside until it all happens. Jeremiah's put aside till it all happens. We're here until it all happens. We're here until it all happens to demonstrate. That's what we're here for. Until it happens. That's our job, our assignment. And therefore, the hope that is before us, verse 18, which hope, verse 19, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil. Whether the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And remember, just think if you would, our Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and is seated. He's seated. So there, they're seated up there. Now, he's up there. Ephesians 2, we're seated. I got that. Got that? I got it. Okay. We're seated. And what happens? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope, that's right. Your wonderful expectancy. Where is our expectancy? Where's our assurance in Christ? That's why the Lord Jesus said to Thomas and to Philip, don't you understand? I'm right in front of you. I'm the fulfillment of it all. All you had to do was trust me. That's all you had to do. Trust me. So therefore, he's seated and Christ in my heart. So here I am floating around in the great ocean, the troubled sea. Isaiah, I live in a troubled sea, a troubled world, bouncing all over the place. But I'm not going to, you know, again, am I worried about crashing? Am I worried about, no. Why? Because the other end of the rope is locked on to the perfect humanity of Christ, seated. So, as I bounce around, I'm locked on like a great anchor. And if you've ever seen those big ships, you know, the ropes sometimes, big ropes, chains, wow, locking to big, heavy anchor down there to hold it. God said, I'm holding you fast, holding you fast. In fact, I am there to see that it holds. Because you see, as long as I'm there, you're all right. I'm able to keep it all right, to make it all work. When it all looks like Job, Job says, I know it's going to work out. Peter, James, and John, it's going to work out. And here we are, and it has to work out.